Welcome back to Dateline New Haven. I'm your host, Paul Bass, inviting you to join me on an exploration of what makes the Elm City tick. Marge Wiener, Kim Harris, Mike Shanklin, and Brian McGrath make New Haven tick. They head up a whole bunch of groups that are working our neighborhoods. The Westville West Hills Management Team, the New Hallville Community Management Team, the Dwight Management Team, and the Chapel West Business Development District. What do you call that? Special Services District.
Special Services District.
Yeah, we have a long history about what that was all about. And they're all in today to talk about our continuing series here every week, thanks to Kim Harris. We're talking about a revolution that's happening in New Haven, folks, with our community management teams, the neighborhood teams, where the people who care most about their neighborhood come out every week and figure out, first of all, demand from public officials responses to what needs to happen in their neighborhoods, and they organize for good. And the amazing thing that's happening this summer is that all 12 management teams have united, thanks to Kim Harris, and they're coming up with 60 days of events in every neighborhood. That's the goal. If they come up with 30, we'll be just perfectly happy. Something to do every day in every neighborhood and let you know about it in one central place for families as a first step to forming a citywide group called One City that gives voice to the neighbors. Welcome, everyone. So
thank
great
you,
to have
well,
you in. And so
it's
what we've been doing every week, Kim has brought people from each neighborhood in to tell us what's, we talk to you about what's happening in your neighborhood now and what you're going to do for this One City event. So let me start by asking you, Marge, the West Hills Westville management team is one of the busiest in the city. What do you got going on? Anything like this coming weekend or anything like that?
Yes, there's the Art Walk, which is the 21st annual Art Walk. It's going to be taking place Friday night between 6 and 10.
Mm-hmm. And Saturday, all day on the street.
All day Saturday, but we're having an adult event on Friday night.
Adult means many different things. What kind of adult
they'll
do you
have
mean?
A beer. They have these.
And there's a killer little art gallery or all the art galleries?
Two of them, I believe.
And just so our listeners know, every year this is the big blowout in May. There's a weekend where they close off the street on Central Avenue, that last block between Whaley and Fountain. Something that people think could be a great permanent change to New Westville if you kind of made that a public square. And you get all the art. Westville became such an artist neighborhood, and it's had this amazing revival in the last 15 years. Some people moving in, all these artists setting up studios. And on Saturday, you have live music, painting, just all these booths.
Food trucks.
But on Friday night, what's been interesting to me, Marge, is how when you have the opening event Friday night that's more adult, meaning you kind of have a beer and you go to these art galleries and talk about fancy stuff, you get huge crowds. Like, I'm talking thousands of people come on Friday night just to
They're
these two galleries.
They're expecting 8,000 people
just
for this
weekend.
Just to
go to a couple of galleries on Whaley Avenue. How did that happen?
I can tell you that the WeVRA, the Westville Village Alliance Renaissance, is amazing with their publicity, the amount of money they've gotten for grants to put this program together.
And to make Westville Village nicer, it's gone under real tradition. It used to be mostly antique shops, which were great, and stores like a pharmacy and a jeweler. That all died out as the world changed. Right. Now we have some great restaurants. We've got a couple more coming up.
And they have art. They have artists that take the blank canvas of concrete walls and do paintings.
Right. We have great public art there every year, whether it's Eric Epstein or other people. Some of the people at the tattoo parlor have their friends who are graffiti artists, and they have some great stuff.
Right.
It's really quite a renaissance. So the one thing is that you don't control the weather. So many years it's been raining and people kind of huddle under tents on Saturday.
But there we have the ability to go to the Coogan
Pavilion on Edgewood Park.
If it does rain.
Now, some other issues. You get some great issues there at the Westville West Hills Community Management Team. You've been fighting against electronic billboards. There's a new big flashing billboard near Emerson Street on Whaley. And because of your guys' activism, you couldn't stop the billboard because it's legal. But you're worried that's distracting. And now we got a new state law that looks like it might pass today. It passed the House one chamber, and that's to try to have more regulations so cities can prevent these electronic billboards. Why did this concern you guys, Marge?
Chapel Haven is right across the street
and
from
developmentally challenged adults.
And it is so bright. When you go down there, you're like in Times Square. It's that size of a unit. But we have found out that if you go into the store and you tell them that you're against...
There's a store next to where the billboard is.
Right, the deli. That all we have to do is tell them we're not going to shop there. So,
do you think you'll shop there if they get rid of the sign?
Will I personally? Probably not.
But. Okay, we won't tell them that part. So, but what is your concern? Because people cross the street and then drivers will be distracted.
It's extremely.
Like
it's,
when you drive, what happens when you see that?
Your eyes go right to that billboard.
And why is it different from a regular billboard?
It's, I think, 10 times brighter than the average.
And it flashes, it changes.
Constantly.
So it's like you're watching TV while you're driving.
And you don't even notice when you go up to the Diamond Exchange, which is up the street, but you could put six of those Diamond Exchange
billboards into that one. Also, Marge, you guys had an input into how the CVS moved. It was a big CVS a block from there. It was an old place. They're getting rid of it, and they're moving down the street. And you guys had a lot of influence in how they built their new building so it would be a little more part of the neighborhood and look a little nicer.
Right.
How do you feel that turned out?
So far, it looks pretty good. They've got the pavement there. They put in plants. Now they just have to keep it clean. That'll be wonderful.
And then the old CVS, which is kind of a dump, although it used to be the Crown Supermarket back in the day, nice place. There have been some, the management team said they didn't want it to become a dollar store, but it will become a dollar store. How do you feel about that?
I personally think it's fine. I think the neighborhood.
So did I. I couldn't understand why people were so snobby about a dollar store.
Listen, Lord & Taylor isn't going in there, so
The company that owns the franchises, at least our franchise, has had a bad experience on Whaley Avenue,
right,
not keeping that one up. But other dollar stores are kept up perfectly fine, and their people live a block away from that storefront who do not shop at Lord & Taylor's.
Correct.
Okay, so you think it's going to be okay.
I think it'll be fine.
But I think you let your voices be heard.
We did.
So the owner knows not to make it a dump.
Right, and to keep it clean and keep the you know, walkways clear, and I think it'll be all right.
You also had your voices heard about two empty spots down in the village, Westville Village, because people over years move in and out. The old bank, Key Bank, which had a lot of other names, went empty. Now you have the people who are the chefs and owners of
Geronimo's.
Shell and Bones and Geronimo's going to open up a restaurant there. And the old Delaney's people miss. It burned down in a fire. It's going to be reopening there. Are you happy with how the new plans came out after you guys were so involved? They got zoning approval with your help.
I think our members have been, you know, vocal in what they expect the property to look like so that it's, comparable with what it looks like in on Whaley Avenue now. Mm-hmm. And Weaver has been extremely vocal and helpful in putting it together.
Now, West Hills has a lot of neighborhoods. West Hills has a lot of public housing on one side of Valley Street.
Right.
And then Westville Center, you have sort of the flats of Westville, a lot of single-family homes. And then you also have single-family homes at a different part of Upper Westville called Beverly Hills. A lot of people don't know there is a Beverly Hills in New Haven.
Yes.
Jed Clampett doesn't live there, but Marge has lived there. Marge has lived there for a long time.
31 years.
What is 31 years. What's Beverly Hills like and how's it changed?
I think we have, well, when I moved in 31 years ago, I was the youngest one moving into the house with two little kids.
So a lot of seniors there?
And they were all old families.
In single family house.
Single family house. Because there were a lot of synagogues in the area. Most of my street was Jewish.
Really?
Which was really pretty cool.
I don't think about that with Beverly Hills. It's not mostly Jewish now.
And now my street has single women living there in these single family houses. I think there's like five in my immediate view of my house. So it's
is it a nice neighborhood?
I love it. I don't want to leave.
That's great.
I'm happy
but you
there.
Want people to drive a little better there.
Well, we had the speed humps put in. My house had been hit probably about 20 times.
20 times a car hit your house?
Well, the curb, the tree, the fire hydrant, knocked down signs.
Were you nervous to sleep thinking a car might come through?
Yes. So we would stand out and just, you know, have block watch parties out in the front lawn with cops in the front yard and everybody slowed down. The minute they put the speed humps, it's been 3 years now, thanks to my neighbors, Carol and Deb.
Mm-hmm. So speed humps work?
They absolutely, not once has my house been.
Wow.
Yeah. You can see the tree in front of my house missing like 6 feet of bark from where a car hit it.
But your bite was better than your bark and you got the speed humps. And we're talking about how to make neighborhoods better and the great things happen in Westville, West Hills, and Dwight and West River here on Dateline New Haven on WNHH FM. Kim Harris has brought the crew for another week from community management teams, and that includes Mike Shanklin, who and Brian McGrath, who are in the neighborhood known as Dwight and West River. There's a little bit of overlap, like where Chapel Street branches off, right, in two directions. Mike Shanklin, are you on the management team?
Yes, I am.
Are you the management coach here or the Florida?
Florida's.
I'm going to ask you to get real close to the mic.
Florida's the coach here.
Florida Gillespie, she seems to kind of have a dynasty there. You don't really mess with Florida, right?
Well, I'm before Florida.
You're before. So, Mike, do you still live at the Dwight Homes?
No.
Okay, now, what I was going to ask you about in the neighborhood near where you live in Dwight, there were all these cooperative housing developments, complexes where the tenants were the decision makers and had federal loans to buy their complexes. One of them was the Dwight Co-ops near Garden Street and Edgewood. One was around the corner at Ethan Gardens. One was at Antillian Manor. We're all talking within a couple of blocks, hundreds of families in total. And all of those complexes ended up going bust, deteriorating. The tenants fought. They didn't keep it up. The bill came due. They didn't get to own it. But now they're getting second lives. Ethan Garden was bought by a big property manager in town with not a great record, Pike International. But Dwight Co-op, on the other hand, after two failed developers where you used to live,
right.
They brought in a firm which seems to be doing pretty well, right, in rebuilding those?
It looks good, but I don't know how people are accepting it and everything, because a lot of the people that we knew before we moved out.
Close the mic, yeah.
Before we moved out, I don't know what they think about the new owners.
Why did you move out?
We didn't want to be without a home, so we just moved on.
What was it like living at the Dwight Co-ops?
Chaos. My wife used to manage. She managed a lot of the co-ops.
And what happened with why the money wasn't spent to keep it up?
Deferred maintenance. People didn't look at it as a business. Mm-hmm. They looked at it as rental, and they wanted to keep their money in the pocket. You try to educate them along the way that this is a business. You have to go up what we call carrying charges. You think of it as rent. What is your mortgage? Because it was 80 units. Everybody paid 1/80th of the mortgage and everything. And so if you're not going to go up because taxes go up, insurance goes up, just a whole host of things, and people weren't looking at it as a business aspect.
What broke everyone's heart was over 30 years they were paying those fees to pay off a mortgage, and they were within months of owning it, within one year
to pay the...
And they lost it, and the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development took it over. But I think it's looking better. They're building it in two phases. One phase is done. People moved in.
Well,
they gave right
they
of return.
They just transferred them. The people that were in their first driveway chose to stay. Now they're in the second driveway.
And you just didn't want to schlep around like that. You wanted to be one place.
Oh, well, I'm happy where
but
I'm
But you're
at.
Still in the neighborhood.
Well, no, but still my neighborhood.
Gotcha. And then right around the corner is Antillian Manor, which had a Caribbean-American tradition of a co-op, and they too went bust. And now they're in the process of being sold to one of the big property management firms that owns Bella Vista.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
For the good. Everything is, change is good. And a lot of people don't want to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part in a community that they have to accept. You have to move on.
Yeah.
Give people a chance. I mean, new development is good.
And there's no choice but to change.
Correct.
Well, Brian McGrath, you run the Chapel West District, which includes Dwight and West River, and you're responsible for those. All those great banners of famous people who came out of New Haven, those are really fun. And unlike a flashing billboard, you can just kind of stop and read them as you kind of drive by. Brian, I know one issue on your radar has been these property managers. So Michael Shanklin was just talking about how change is good and some of his new projects are working out. You've also had some real problems. You've had a lot of low-income properties owned by just a couple, snapped out by a couple property management firms like Pike, like Mandy Management, like Ocean Management. You've also had, you recently had 66 Norton Street. We had 80 families on an hour's notice had to leave their homes, and they thought it was going to collapse. I don't know if, as a former city official, you agreed with that. Well, what's your take on the issue with property management in your district?
Well, it's funny that we have new owners. That's true. The tenants were replaced, though, by a large part Yale students, and we find that the Yale students are dirtier than the low income tenants that were there before. So there's an awful lot of trash in our neighborhood lately, brought to us by Yale students, and we're at wit's end to figure out how to get them to clean it up, because they'll fill an entire backyard with red beer cups in one weekend. and they leave furniture out there, and they don't take their trash out for 6 days, and the property managers don't do anything about it. And you know who I'm referring to. He has a big vote in our district. He owns Pike owns over 17 properties in our district now.
And by properties, we're talking about some places that have 30 apartments in
them. Oh, right. They'll be an apartment building, but it's one property. And as a property owner, of course, we serve Pike. Pike is one of our constituents because we are owned and run by the property owners, period. Mm-hmm. We are a government agency, but the property owners...
You're not a government agency.
Oh, yes, we are. Absolutely.
I was wondering how you got that sneaky government phone. You used to work for government, Brian McGrath, but...
We are a government agency.
But you have a self-taxing district. If you own property, right, you pay a tax to the self-improvement fund, but I thought these were quasi-public. You don't elect them.
Not quasi-public at all. First of all, there's a state statute that creates us and authorizes the city to create us.
That's true about like bond commissions and things like that.
Oh, yeah. And then the city created us by ordinance, following the state statute, created us by ordinance, and... We could only be created by a referendum of the property owner. Right. So under state law, we're considered what's known as a body politic and a municipal corporation.
But municipal corporation, like the loan funds, those are not city government agencies.
No, we have no loan. What loan funds?
Remember Sal Brancati's old loan funds he had?
Oh, no, those were not-for-profit entities that had received some
government. So a special service district, you're an employee of the city of New Haven, Brian?
No, not at all. They're an employee of us. We are a municipal corporation with all the powers of the city government, except we can't do regional water. Mm-hmm. We can't do anything that's provided on a regional basis. We can do policing. We can do development services. We could arrest people only if we were sworn constables, which we don't intend to do. I mean,
because you used to be the head of traffic and parking. You used to love giving out those parking tickets, Brian.
We can be deputized under city code to give tickets, but we have other things to do right now.
So Chapel West, how's it doing? Since you formed Chapel West, was it about 20 years ago with Evelyn Schatz?
Yes.
I've seen a lot of improvement in that district, especially like around the Howe and Park Street areas.
Well, one of the things we have been doing over time is growing. Remember, the district was originally formed, the boundaries were drawn in such a way to ensure a victory in the referendum. So there were those.
You are the veteran of many political campaigns.
Yeah, there were those people that didn't want to pay an extra tax and couldn't see the vision of a very small supplemental tax can get you far more city services than the full tax bill can get you, because you have a paid advocate who knows how to go downtown and get your services for you. In case you were overlooked, you can be spotted if somebody's down there rattling the doors. Mm-hmm. So after the original boundaries, we've gone to the Board of Aldermen at least three times with expansion ordinances and added properties, and we really got it.
So where do you go now? What's your district?
We have a master plan for expansion, and it's on a map. It's hanging on our wall, and there's only, like, just recently we took in most of Linwood Place. We didn't take all of it yet.
So that's how east you go?
No, we go all the way to Sherman. We stop mm-hmm. at Sherman. And we stop at York, and we stop at Elm, and we stop at George.
Okay, we're talking about what's going on in Dwight, West River, and Westville, West Hills right. on Dateline New Haven on WNHH 103.5 FM, live streamed at newhavenimpound.org. And what brought us together with Kim Harris of the New Hovel Community Management Team and the leader of a new group called One City is that all these neighborhoods are beginning to work together for the first time in decades. And it's kind of exciting. And one thing you're doing is you're planning these 60 events in 60 days in each neighborhood this summer. Marge, what kind of events are going to be going on in Westville, West Hills?
I'm glad you asked. We have, starting earlier, even in June, at the Mitchell Library on Harrison Street.
Great place.
Yes, amazing. They're going to have a ladybug release on Monday, June 4th at 6 p.m. Sharon Lovett.
That's a fun event.
Sharon Lovett Graft is the head of the library there. It's sponsored by a Black Watch, the management team, and the Renaissance Alliance. Then we have offers from the Peabody Museum to help us with free events. We have offers from Tower One, Tower East to do events. So
I want to ask Kim Harris something. So when I look at Westville, Kim Harris, I live in Westville, and I just noticed because I live there, there already were a lot of great events like Marge was talking about. This ladybug release takes place every summer. Every summer they have three concerts on Monday nights that are wonderful community events. You see all the families walking there with their picnic baskets. Not only do they have live music, which draws people from all over the city, they also have pie baking contests and tasting. And they have there's always something going on at that library with Sharon Love of Griff. So part of what's happening, I think part of the genius of what you're doing with this one city, is that you're going to let the rest of the city know on a single website and promotional campaign what they can come to Westville to do that already was happening. Like as Marge said, they have, because you give them that 60-day challenge, they're going to have to do something every day. So you're going to add new stuff. But there's already a lot of stuff happening that the rest of the city didn't know about, and that's true in many neighborhoods, right?
Absolutely.
So is part of your idea, in addition to creating new events for people this summer, is to let everybody in the 12 parts of town know what's happening in the 11 they don't live in?
Absolutely. And I didn't know about the pie eating contest.
Oh, come on.
I'm the biggest pie eater. That, look, yoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. The pie eating contest, anything eating, I will be there. But the thing is, Paul, it's more than that. Now it's all going to be on one calendar, mm-hmm. the city's calendar.
And also you have your own website.
Yeah, each management team probably has their own.
One city's going to have
it. One city has it. So what happens is this, and this we'll talk more about the update on this. You go to the city's calendar. You click on that event, and it links back to one city. So you can get all the details about what's going on.
So this summer, basically, the message we're trying to get out, and we're going to do it till you're tired of hearing it.
That's right.
Is this summer, every single day starting June 28th for 2 months,
yes.
If you live in New Haven, I remember my kids were little, always looking for something to do. But even if you don't have kids, because a lot of it's just so much fun, whatever age you are, every single day you'll be able to go to this one place and say, what's happening in 12 parts of town today?
Yes.
And you'll have 12 places to go. And sometimes you'll walk down the street and sometimes you go to a part of town you don't usually go to and meet some folks you didn't know.
And you'll feel very welcomed.
What's the website called?
OneCityInitiative.org.
All right. So what's the latest with that, Kim, since we talked last week? Anything new developing?
Yes. So we have been working the candle on both ends with the website. We met with Randy McCray, who is our website developer, and we did all of the logistics. We did all the behind the scene, the backdoor stuff over the weekend and last night. And that's why I'm a little hoarse today, because we've really been working diligently on this. So we're mocking it up. We mocked it up. And we laid it out. So she's doing all of that now. And actually at midnight tonight, we're supposed to be doing the completion of the website. So
the
now,
idea is that Marge and Michael and people from each management team will go up themselves and put their own events onto this calendar.
Absolutely. So the website has every management team's name on it. If you have an adventure or an activity that you would like to upload, you click on that management team because it's based on the area. Mm-hmm. You click it, a form will drop down. And the form will go to each management team so that they can filter. And then the management team will send it to us and we send it to the city. And all of our backdoor stuff is taken care of with our IT person. So the big thing is, so this can be a very self-serve, easy 1, 2, 3 steps.
So that gets us there. And then once June 28th happens and everybody comes to the field house at Hill House for the first day where everyone's together to talk about doing this summer, then every day you'll have a website that every citizen can go to.
Absolutely. Very easy to use, just very friendly. Click, look, and see.
And Mike Shanklin, what kind of events do we have coming up in Joint and West River this summer as part of this?
Okay, June 2nd, we have our annual festival with Chapel West. They've merged with us this year for a first because they stopped having their events and Brian can piggyback on that. And we came up and said, look, since you're not doing it anymore, why don't you just come in with us and we'll move forward with any things in the future because it's about.
You also have some cleanups coming up. And Dwight, you always have these community cleanups where everyone comes out and picks up the trash together and they make a whole party out of it.
Well, they just started. I think they did that last week.
We just did it.
Yeah.
How much trash did you get?
Ooh, talk about, 10, 15 dumpsters full.
Oh, that's a lot of trash.
Yeah, absolutely. Another
thing I love about this One City initiative is that Kim Harris has asked each of you, set the challenge out. It's going to be easy for Brian because that's who his group is. But for the rest of you, is you have to find 5 local businesses or institutions each that agree to say, we're going to give a discount to everyone who's part of One City. Every citizen town who wants to go from one neighborhood. And we want to tell you about small businesses institution in each of our neighborhoods so you can come try them out and support them. So the idea is that in all 12 neighborhoods, you'll have a list this summer, like you try the Helados on Grand Avenue or something. 5 places to go in each neighborhood where we're going to give you a discount. And then we want you to then become a regular customer base so that we support local commerce. Marge, any businesses in Westville you're going to recommend to people that someone in Fairhaven Heights or the Hill might not never have heard of?
We haven't really gone out yet. We have our community management team tonight at 6 o'clock at Sheridan Morrow on Fountain Street. The mayor is coming. We have three or four of our alders will be there. And tonight will be the big push to go out to those businesses. I have the application forms and identification for those people who will go out and solicit.
Gotcha. Brian or Michael, what kind of swipers do you see on Kim's list this summer?
I just got my application form.
I gave it to him.
The value of this program is that this project will get bigger just because of this publicity. Because I only knew about it vaguely and agreed to.
You know what's amazing? This doesn't cost money. This gets like hundreds of people just getting everybody to each other's neighborhoods.
But we have so many businesses in our district that, like my father always said, keep the balance sheet of favors on your side.
Right.
We do everything for any business that ever
name
has
a business in Chapel West that somebody might not have heard of across town.
Oh my God, we have the Hull's Frame Shop. We have Carafano's Eyeglasses.
I thought he went out of business.
Oh no. Carafano's. No, Hull's didn't go out of business.
No, I thought Carafano's did.
No, Carafano's is still there doing eyeglasses. And we have.
That's great. He's been there forever.
We have a new Syrian falafel restaurant now on Chapel Street. That makes two Syrian restaurants in the same block. We have almost 100. And the thing is, though, because we help them so much, if somebody said to me, go and solicit discounts from them, I can't think of one that won't cooperate. We may end up with more than five.
Marge Wiener and Michael Shanklin, how many years have you folks been involved in your management teams?
I go back to 81.
There was no management team in 81.
It's grassroots.
All right. Even before the management team.
Yeah.
And then
the idea
when it
floated along until...
So you've been in sort of neighborhood community groups in Dwight for 37 years.
Right.
Marge Wiener, how about you?
I believe when Andy Orfici, who was in charge, the Bradleys were in charge, and Paul Chambers was the chairman.
My former landlord back in the day.
Okay. So it probably is about 12.
Let me ask something. In all those years, do you remember a time when you'd be doing what you're doing now, which is that you're regularly getting together with your counterparts who run management teams in all 12 parts of the city to plan something together?
Never.
What's that like now to be doing that?
When I met her.
Kim Harris, who made it all happen.
Kim Harris. I was, my jaw dropped. She's just been one of the most amazing, inspirational women that I have ever met.
And what's it like when you all get together? Is it competitive or do you feel like you're all in it together?
It was the first time I felt really comfortable. I never knew anybody from another district that
was doing the same thing you were doing.
Yeah, but just as a citizen.
Mm-hmm. So let me.
And I just fell in love with her. So I guess.
Well, Brian McGrath mentioned his dad. So Brian McGrath's dad was a city official, and Brian also a city official for decades. You've been involved. You've been at neighbor meetings forever, getting yelled at, yelling back, that kind of stuff.
Worse than that.
Do you have any lessons? You've watched waves of neighborhood involvement in New Haven. You've watched time when neighbors were more active and times when they were less, when neighborhoods came together and when they didn't. So for Michael and Marge, and for Paul, this is the first time in my 40 years I've seen this level of activity bringing neighbors together. Can you think of any lessons from past experiments in New Haven and community development that you can offer to Kim and Marge and Michael about what can help them succeed in this one city effort and what they should watch out for?
When Chapel West was first formed, I was the one who did the testimony before the Board of Aldermen to get it authorized back in 86. So it's been 30 years I've been working with Chapel West. And what I saw happen was the city government doesn't change a lot and it has its functions and they're all enumerated in the statutes, what their duties are and functions are. But unless there's an organized neighborhood group that defines what services they want and when they want them and how fast they want them, they tend not to happen.
Right, so now we have these management teams. But what about this effort to bring them across neighborhood lines?
That hasn't. The only time that happened before and it died out was the districts in the city and the management teams all thought they would combine together and create an umbrella organization. And they did that, but it didn't go anywhere.
And why didn't it go anywhere? Why is this one doing better?
I think you're
talking about 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure that the individual management teams needed to coordinate at a city level. They had problems in their own neighborhood. And I don't think that Dwight cared that much about the problems of Grand Avenue. So there wasn't much they could do for each other.
But why is this different now? But look what they're doing now. They're going to send people to bolster small business with each other, community events with each other. Kim Harris has now set up a training process
for
people.
I'm not too sure that all of those ideas didn't just materialize out of the beginning of this effort. You started an effort to make New Haven do something over the summer to help the population, but all these other ideas keep coming in and adding to it. So it's getting bigger by itself.
So basically, Kim Harris is charting new ground and everybody's going along for the ride.
I think it's new ground, yeah.
And that she can't do it alone. Kim Harris, before we, because you hear the music coming up. Kim Harris, what are you going to tell us this week about the ongoing effort and what we're going to look for next?
So the biggest thing is the website is the thing that's going to make the push. Our media, our social media piece, because that hits across all grounds. And the other thing is, well, first of all, I just want to thank this room because today I just learned so much about neighborhoods, other neighborhoods and what you're doing and how you got to the point that you're at right now. Because, heck, Newhallville wants to do the things that Dwight is doing. Right. You know, we want to have our art walk happening over in Newhallville as well. So there's so many things.
And you got that arts community. You got Winfred Rembrandt
yes.
and people like that who
yes.
have broke
yes.
the mold.
So it's just Mr. Leatherman, absolutely. And we want to help him set up his museum that he wants to have over there. So we're going
to,
that's
gonna be amazing to me. He's this amazing folk artist in Newhallville forever, whose work is displayed around the country.
Yes.
They made a movie about him and a book.
Yes.
But until last year, he never once been invited to speak in a New Haven public school.
Get that.
It's amazing.
So we're going to bring him to life this summer.
We're going to bring all New Haven to life this summer.
Absolutely. You know, Paul, once again, I got to say, thank you for opening the door and letting people become a part of this. Lots of my people don't listen to this radio show, but now they do.
And we're just getting started.
Now they do.
One city. I want to thank you for joining us today in WNHH-FM. I want to thank Kim Harris, as always, head of the Newhallville Community Management Team and the force behind the One City Coalition, bringing all neighbors together in New Haven. I want to thank Marge Wiener of the Westville West Hills Community Management Team, Michael Shanklin from the Dwight Community Management Team and its precursors, as we learned today, Brian McGrath, the omnipresent community force, who is now at the Chapel West District, and everybody who makes New Haven tick. We're going to take it out, the Afro-Semitic Experience, performing I Wish I Knew How It Would Feel to Be Free from the group CD, A Plea for Peace. Now we know what it's like to be free. We just got to remember to book our flight. Book your flight with us all day and all night long here at WNHH, New Haven's home for community radio.